When you go back to the fourth chapter of the book of Luke's gospel, you'll find that the Lord Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness for 40 days. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And there was a reason for his trying or tempting or testing in the wilderness. But then the Word of God tells us, as you go on down that chapter in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, that when the Lord Jesus returned, the Bible says in verse number 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ was tested in the wilderness, thank God, the Lord Jesus returned with power. He was led of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. God will never lead you the wrong place. He was led into the wilderness for the purpose that God had for him. But thank God he returned in power of the Holy Ghost. And so the Lord Jesus, the Bible says in verse 15, he taught in the synagogue, being glorified of all. But you know, sad to say, that glory or that praise of Christ didn't last. After traveling across Galilee, he came to Nazareth, in the place where he had spent most of his 30 early years in life, in the home of Mary and Joseph. And the Bible tells us, as was the custom, in verse number 16 of chapter 4, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And they delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That was a scroll that they delivered unto him. And the Bible says, when he had opened the book, he found the place. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ opens to a specific place in the prophecy of Isaiah, and these words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, friend, all of those things, that was away from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse number 20, says here, and he closed the book. In other words, he rolled up the scroll. And he gave it again to the minister, and then he sat down. And quite often, the guests who were invited to read the scriptures, and there were quite often several scriptures that were read in the synagogue at a time, but when the person would read the scriptures, quite often they would say a little word on them. And the Lord Jesus sat down, it says in the scriptures, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. There was a silence in the place because they wanted to hear, what did he have to say? They knew him because he had grown up in Nazareth among many of them. And so the Lord, the Word of God says in verse 21, he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was telling them that his ministry was referred to way back there in the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And this day, Messiah was come to fulfill the words of the prophet. Now, what else did he say? I don't know, but this I do know. It says in verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. So he said other things, but the Spirit of God didn't record it. But what he had to say was gracious words. And all of those that were gathered in that synagogue that day, they wondered that they had witnessed the gracious words which proceeded out of the Savior's My. But as I said, my friend, those two verses from the book of Isaiah, they captured the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that time until he went to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ went to different towns and he went to different villages preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Yes, he was busy about his master's business. And then we come to this chapter 7 that we read together this evening. And we come to a specific instant in the ministry of Christ, which actually was a fulfillment of what he came for. And we're going to look tonight in verses 36 to 50 at three people. We're going to see Simon, and then we're going to see a sinner, and then we're going to see the Savior. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, the invitation. Go to verse 36. Follows here. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is, the desired Jesus, that he would eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now, we know that the Pharisee's name was called Simon, because the Lord Jesus says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. Verse number 40. So we know who he was. The woman's name's not given. We know who the Savior is. That's the Lord Jesus himself. But this man called Simon, he desired Jesus that he would eat with him. Now, he was a Pharisee. Now, let's get this. Let me tell you, my friends, Pharisees hated the Lord Jesus. They hated him. Because they were self-righteous. They were those who opposed the ministry of Christ because they believed they didn't need a Messiah. They didn't need Jesus. They didn't need a Savior. They were good enough. Many of those people in Coleraine tonight, they feel they don't need Jesus. They don't need God's salvation. They'll make it to heaven their way, and yet they're going to hell. For there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof. God says the way of death. So whenever this Pharisee, Simon, despised the Lord Jesus Christ, why did he ask him? Why did he ask Jesus to come in and to eat with him and sit at his table for meat? There had to be a reason. This was not a usual invitation, because he saw no need of Christ in his life. But he asked him to come. There's some things the Bible tells us. We certainly know that Simon did not believe in Christ. If you look down there in this passage of God's word, that indeed Simon did not believe. It says in verse number 39, now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw the woman, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet. He didn't believe in Jesus. He didn't believe that he was the prophet that was to come, or the Messiah that was to come. He was critical of Christ. Notice the words, this man. He didn't say Jesus. Didn't call him by name. He dismissed him. This man, if he were a prophet. Not believing that it was. We also know that he had no respect for Christ. Because in actual fact, whenever you invited a special guest into your home, especially a guest teacher into your home, there were certain customs, there were certain courtesies that were done. They were common, that were respectful to a guest in the home. You know, it was common in those days that when a person came into the home, like Jesus there as a guest, he was invited, that the servant would be there in that home. It was a rich house, as we'll see in a moment. And the servant would be there, and there would be a basin there. And my, whenever the person would come in off the dusty pathway, my, they would take off the sandals, and they would put their foot into the basin, and the servant would pour water upon it to take all the dirt and dust off the feet. That never happened to Jesus that day. Doesn't mention any of the rest of them had dusty feet, only Christ. Doesn't mention that others hadn't their feet washed, only the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisee had asked him to come in, but he did not give him the common courtesy. There was no towel. Even if Jesus, there was no water there for Jesus to do himself. And there was no towel that was there to dry his feet. And then it was a common courtesy whenever a person would come in that the host would put his hand upon the shoulder of his invited guest and he would greet him with a kiss, the kiss of peace. Now, whenever a person comes into our homes, we extend the hand. And what are we doing? We are welcoming them in. We're acknowledging that we're glad to see them. And so whenever they come, we reach out the hand and we welcome them. Well, in the Bible times, a host would give the kiss of peace upon the special guest. But Simon didn't do that. And then also whenever an honored guest would come in, it was customary for the head of that person to be anointed with a touch of olive oil. But Simon didn't do that. None of these customs were granted to the Lord Jesus Christ, friend. What was Simon doing? He was treating Christ with contempt. And yet he asked him in. Why did he ask him? When he was treating the Savior with such disrespect. It certainly wasn't an act of friendship. But you'll often find in the scriptures, whenever those Pharisees invited the Lord Jesus in, it was to criticize him. It was to find fault with him. Wanting to enter into a conversation and to trip the Lord Jesus up whenever he spoke, to find fault, to expose the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friend, Simon knew that Christ was being talked about in the community. How do I know? Just go back in chapter 7. This is how I know. Earlier on in the chapter, we find in chapter 7, the healing, or rather the raising of the young man, the widow of Nain's son. He died. She was left on her own. She was a widow. In verse 13, and when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. He said unto her, weep not. And then look at verse 16. When the young man was delivered up to life and given to his mother, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us. God hath visited this people. And this rumor of him went out throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. So what Jesus had done, friend, was the talk of the community. And they said, a great prophet is among us. But we find that Simon didn't believe it. He wanted to expose this great prophet as an imposter. Oh, he knew he was being talked about. But he wanted opportunity to demean the Savior. That's why he didn't do any of the courtesies that were common to all of his other guests. Now, let me tell you, friend, this wasn't a private dinner between Christ and Simon. You say, how do I know? Well, read your Bible. For the Bible says, verse number 49 of that chapter, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? He had other of his cronies there. Yes, they were there to criticize. They were there to trip up the Savior. They were there to demean the Son of God. And the cronies were all there, sitting around the table as well. This wasn't a private occasion. The house was filled with guests to belittle Christ. Then you asked yourself another question. Well, we know that he didn't invite them because of friendship. He invited them to criticize or to expose or to ridicule the Savior. Then why did Jesus go? Did Jesus not know what Simon had in his heart? Yes, he did. But Jesus knew something else for him. Jesus knew that in the providence of his Father, that there was another person would come to that place that day. And whilst the Pharisees were going to prove that he was an imposter, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to work a miracle of salvation. That's why he came. Because there was a lost sinner that was needing him. And that day, a lost sinner would come to him. Well, thank God, God knows the reason why you're here tonight. Maybe to be honest, you didn't come here with the intent to hear the word of God at all. Really, you came because of an invitation. Let me tell you, my friend, God knows the end from the beginning. A miracle of God's grace can be worked in your heart tonight. You come on a sinner and thank God you can go home a child of God. You can come on your road to hell and go home on your road to heaven. That's the miracle working of Christ, the sovereign grace of a sovereign God. Simon's house was a rich house. And that rich house would be open and there would be a large courtyard. And usually in the center of the house where formal meals were served. And whenever they came in, they didn't sit on seats just like you and I would sit in the house, friend, when you're invited to a home. No, there were couches that were provided around the table. And these couches were there, and the guest would lean on their arm, lying upon the couch, and with their left hand, and they would take with their right hand the food, and they would feed, and there would be discussions amongst them. And the feet of the guest would be out behind him. Not in front of him, but behind him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into that house. And let me tell you what also happened. It was also quite common in those days because people wanted to know that they had a special guest. They had, as it were, a celebrity in their house. And so therefore, they would leave it open and people could wander in off the streets. Now, they couldn't partake of the food. But they could wander in of the streets and stand around the side and watch and listen to the conversations and see what was going on. That was common in those days. That's why people say, well, how did that woman get into the house, friend? Because let me tell you, my friend, she was just like many others. There were others that had been standing around that house that day, desirous to hear and see what they could see and what they could hear. Yes, the invitation. And all's going well. And secondly, here's the interruption. Look at verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and she stood at his feet behind him. And she stood weeping at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody told her that Jesus was in that house that day. And so she wanders in, as others did, to stand around the site to see and listen. But this woman comes with a different person. Notice the word, behold, look, look. And everything's going well with this feast. And then Simon looks up and he sees this woman come through the door. Oh dear, look who's coming now. It's her. It's her. Does she not know she's not welcome here? Nobody else minded others coming in, but whenever she came in, behold, look, look who's here. A woman in the city, which is a sinner. Let's be honest, friend. She was known in the city as a harlot. She's known in the city as a prostitute. And whenever Simon saw her, he couldn't get up and throw her out. But he wanted to. What's she doing here? She's not wanted here. She was well known. Her reputation had gone before her. She wandered not by chance, friend. There's nothing by chance here. Because whenever she heard that Jesus sat at meat in the house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. She went home. And she got an alabaster box of ointment. Let me tell you, my friend, that was very costly. In actual fact, it would have cost 300 days' wages of a working man. It was precious ointment. And she brought it with her. And she carried it into the house. No, it wasn't by chance she came with a purpose. Because she knew where Jesus was. She also knew who Jesus was. She knew that Jesus Christ was known as the friend of sinners. That's who Jesus was, friend. How the Pharisees laughed and said, your master sitteth with the Pharisees, or the publicans and the sinners. What's he doing sitting there? What did Jesus say, knowing what was on their heart? He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. I came to call sinners to repentance. You know, whenever that woman walked through that door, friend, she knew the kind of reception she'd get. But she had to get to Jesus. She had a desperate need in her heart. You know, she knew that Simon represented everything that she wasn't. Simon represented religion. Simon represented morality. But she was a harlot. But she wanted to get to Jesus. You know, every eye turned to her. Oh, the scorn. Oh, the gossip among them. But friend, not Jesus. You know what Jesus said? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This woman was heavy laden by sin. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, friend, came to save sinners. And the Bible says she stood. Look at verse number 38. She stood at his feet. That's the place of humility. It's interesting, read the scriptures.
And you'll find that that was the place of blessing, because that's where the demon of Gadara was found, sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's where Mary was found, sitting often at the feet of Jesus, the place of blessing, unworthy to stand before him. She stood at his feet, behind him. The Savior's feet were protruding over the back of the couch. You notice she never spoke a word, friend. Not a word she spoke recorded. Her actions revealed it all. And she stood in silence. And then the silence is broken. For it says in verse 38, she stood at his feet behind him weeping. Her heart's breaking. Everybody thought she was enjoying her sin, and there was a time she did. Everyone thought that she was enjoying taking some man from his dear wife and acting as a harlot with him. But there she stands. She's weeping at the feet of Jesus. Her heart's broken. She feels the burden. She's heavy laden by sin. And guilt presses upon her. And then I believe she looked. Something else broke her heart. Because when she looked at the feet of Jesus, she saw the feet of Christ had not been washed. And she realized these people despise this man Jesus. And what did she do, friend? She knelt down at the feet of Christ. And you see those tears. They went over the feet of Jesus. There were so many of them. She washed his feet with her tears. When I was in Israel, one of the guides told me, reminded me what the scripture says, put thou my tears in thy bottle. And quite often when people's hearts were broken, whether it was through sorrow or tragedy or trouble in their lives, friend, and they would weep and they would catch their tears and they would wring them out and they would catch them and put them into a bottle and would carry that bottle with them. And that guide said to me, you know, Mr. McRae, that woman would have reached into her pouch, her pocket, and she would have taken out that bottle of her past tears, and they are cold. And she emptied them over the feet of Jesus. Her guilty past. And then her scorching warm tears of her guilty present. They mingled together. And she washed the feet of Jesus. Then she did something else. There was no towel. For Simon didn't provide one for Jesus. Oh, he provided it for others. And she did something. She unplaited her long hair. And her plaited hair would have been a sign, indeed, of where the work she did. It was a mark of her trade. And she unplaited her hair. And she brought it down to the feet of Jesus. And she dried his feet with her hair. She took the glory of womanhood. And she brought it to the feet of Jesus. And then she remembered something else. Simon gave the Savior no kiss. a welcome. And the Bible says, she kissed his feet. She kissed his feet. You know, there are only two times in the scriptures I believe that it's mentioned that Jesus was kissed. One was Judas Iscariot, when he kissed he who is the door of heaven, betraying the Savior, and went to hell. The second time was this woman. And she rains kisses upon the feet of the Lord Jesus. She said, Lord, they don't care about you. They reproach you, they disrespect you, they treat you with contempt. But oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you. Savior, I love you. And then she remembered there was no oil. And she took that bottle of costly ointment and she poured it over the feet of Jesus. And the aroma filled the air. Oh, what devotion. Oh, what love for Jesus. But notice quickly the insinuation. Simon, the Bible says that, verse 39, when the Pharisee, when Simon, which bidden saw it, he spake within himself. He hadn't the guts to open his mouth then. He muttered within himself, thinking that nobody would know what he said. And yet God knows everything. And the Savior, who is God the Son, knew everything. This man, if he had been a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she's a sinner. Oh, the hatred and spite against this poor, lost, guilty soul. Let me tell you, if the Pharisee had cared about the woman, he'd have prayed for her. But he didn't. He was religious, but lost. This man, he challenged the deity of Christ. This man, if he had known, or if he were a prophet, he challenged the dignity of Christ, would have known. He challenged the discernment of Christ. Let me tell you, my friend, Jesus knew all about her. Tell you something else, he knew all about him too. Because Simon never uttered one of these words. But Jesus knew what he thought within his heart. You know, you don't have to say, no, Lord. I don't want you, Lord. I don't want your salvation. I don't want your pardon. I don't want your forgiveness. I don't want your heaven. I want to live my own life. You don't have to utter your mouth, friend, tonight. All you have to do is leave a gospel meeting and go out into the night. The way you come in, unsaved, on your way to hell. And Jesus knew when he said, Simon, I've somewhat to say to you. He says, Master, speak on or say on. And then he told him about two creditors. Two creditors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And had nothing to pay with. And they were both forgiven. And Jesus said, tell me, which of them would love him most? And Simon said, I suppose he that was forgiven most. And Jesus said, thou hast judged rightly. No, friend, Simon showed he hadn't a clue of why Jesus came. He had absolutely no understanding that Jesus came to save sinners. Just like that woman. That's why Jesus came, to heal the brokenhearted. And there she was, weeping at the feet of Jesus. But notice the indictment. Verse 44, Jesus turned to the woman and spoke to Simon. Seest thou this woman? Oh yes, Simon saw her, all right. Do you really see that woman, Simon? Oh yes, I see her. I see her, a sinner. He says, I came into your house and you give me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. See, the real problem of Simon, friend, was this. It was the problem of his heart. That woman loved Christ, but Simon didn't. Tell me, friend, what does God see when he looks into your heart now? Seest thou this woman? What does God see when he looks into your heart? Because the Bible says, thou, God, seest me and thou knowest me altogether. And Jesus says, do you see that woman, Simon? Yes, he did. He saw her a sinner. But the interesting thing is this. He never saw his own sin. He was a sinner too. He was the other debtor. Men and women, tonight in the service, if you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, I say to you with all the love in my heart, it's far better you face this reality now than go out into God's eternity and stand before God and the book of God open on the day of judgment and to realize, oh God, I'm a sinner. Too late. Too late. Simon couldn't see his sin, but he saw hers. But the last thought is this, the instruction. Look at verse 48. And then Jesus turned to the woman and he said, listen to these words, friend. Thy sins are forgiven. Yes, the Lord knew about her past. You say, why? How do I know? Because the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledged thy sins. Verse 47, I say unto thee, her sins which are many. Yes, she was laden down with sin. But he says, thy sins are forgiven. Look at verse 50. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. She left that home that day. Her sins forgiven. She laid her head upon the pillow for the first time in her life, friend. And she had perfect peace. Peace with God. Through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me, are your sins forgiven? There's a great preacher in England, you know. His name was Dr. Barry. He was a famous orator. And one day, a young Lancashire girl with a shawl over her head and clogs in her feet came to Dr. Berry, the preacher, and said, "Are you a minister?" He said, "Yes." She says, "Mister, I want you to come, and I want you to get my mother in." Dr. Berry questioned her further, and then he realized that her mother was dying, and the girl wanted her mommy to go to heaven, for her mommy was unsaved. Dr. Berry tried his best to get out of it, but she begged him, "Please, sir, get my mommy in." He said, "I went to a home, and there in the corner was a woman lying dying. And I knelt down beside her and I spoke to her of Christ, the wonderful example of Jesus, the wonderful teacher that Jesus was." And the dying woman looked into Barry's face and she said, "That's no good for me. I don't need an example. I'm a sinner and I need a savior." Dr. Berry was unsaved, although he was a minister. But as he saw that woman dying on the verge of God's eternity, he remembered back to his early days when he heard the story of the cross and about Jesus died for sinners. And there in that room, the death throes were upon that woman. Dr. Berry told her about Jesus, who died for sinners because God so loved that he gave his darling son and sent him to the cross, that sinners might be saved. And the wee woman held up her hand. She said, "That's what I need. That's what I want. That's the story for me." And there on the floor, she claimed Jesus as her savior. Dr. Berry records that story himself. And he says, "There in that humble home, as I knelt beside that dying woman, praise God, she got in. She came to Christ. She came into Christ and was gloriously saved." And then he said this, "And I got in too. I got in too." For that night, he too was saved. With his eye closed, George Pentecost, the preacher, was holding a meeting in London. A girl came to him and took him by the hands and looked into his face earnestly, and she said, "Mr. Pentecost, pray for me. Pray for me, for I'm lost. But please don't mention my name." In the service, he was praying for sinners. And then he said this, "Lord, there's a lost girl here, and she doesn't want me to mention her name. But Lord, save her." Whenever he said those words, in the stillness of the meeting, the people heard a voice. She says, "It's me, Lord. It's me. Lord, save me." She cried out in the meeting. God saved her. Let me ask you, friend, what will you do with Jesus? He says, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He bids you come. Tell me, will you walk away again? How many times you've heard before, The Savior stand outside your door. And yet he turned, yet you turn, and you walk away. And you say, Lord, not tonight. Some other day. Oh, he just called tonight. For this could be the last time you'll ever hear his call. Will you say, it's me, Lord. Save me. I perish. And thank God he'll save you the way he saved that woman. And he'll say, go home in peace. Thy faith has saved thee. Faith in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our heads are bowed before you. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, don't let men and women, young people, go home without Jesus. Don't let them walk over your blood and trample it under their foot as if it meant nothing. Don't let them walk past the cross where Jesus died and shed his precious blood that they might be saved. Oh, don't let them walk past and walk on in their sin. Oh, God, save souls tonight. Lord, get them in. As their heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We'll sing another verse of a hymn, friend. Just as I am without one plea. You have nothing to plead, friend, just like that woman. She was a sinner, yes. That's all she could say. Lord, I'm a sinner. The Lord, save me. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come, friend? Oh, don't go away without Jesus. As we sing the verse, if there's a man, a woman, boy, or girl, and you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. Every head's bowed, eyes are closed, friend. We're not here to embarrass you. But would you indicate the desire? You let the preacher know that after the meeting's over, we'll go to a private room and open the Word of God and show you God's way of salvation. As we sing the verse, would you lift that hand above your head? Say, O Lamb of God, I come just.